Well, a big good morning to everyone. Good to see you here today. So, today, what about today? So, a couple weeks ago, I was praying to seeking the Lord on what to share with you, and the Lord reminded me of an account in the Bible, an event that happened in the Old Testament, but I believe it's going to speak to us today. But before I do that, as I was preparing, every once in a while, something happens out there. When I say out there in the world, an event happens, and there's a connection, a tie-in to it. And so how many people have seen over the last week the Kiss Cam video clip from the Coldplay concert of the couple who wasn't really a couple? How many people? I got some hands. Okay, you can be honest in church, all right? It's okay that you saw it, all right? And so here's the thing, you know, the concert is happening, right? Tens of thousands of people are there, and poof, the Kiss Cam goes in on this couple. In fact, I think we got a little clip of them. So there they are on the left, all's good. And then the lady realizes the Kiss Cam is on them. So she begins to freak out. If you continue to watch the video, the guy kind of disappears. He disappears, and the girl runs off the screen. And so Chris Martin, one of the Coldplay guys, even says, "Oh, they're probably not supposed to be together." made some kind of comment. So literally within 12 hours, it went viral with all the AI facial recognition programs and all that. You know, the world found out who these people were. So here's the bottom line: they were both married, but not to each other. They were married. They also, the one guy is a CEO of a huge multi-million-dollar corporation, and she was the HR person in that company. Guess what? They both lost their jobs. So in all of 10 seconds, Kiss Cam video, 10 seconds, their whole life implodes, right? But is that really the whole story? It's not. In that 10 seconds is just when they got caught. But let me tell you something. It wasn't just 10 seconds of, quote, sin. It wasn't just 10 seconds of a relationship. It was months back, maybe years back. I don't know how far back, but leading up to this culmination where they thought that no one would notice them in the crowds of 10,000. But the Kiss Cam was there. And so the reality of it was that their life is imploded in just a few seconds of time. Why? Because they allowed giants in their life to influence them in a negative way. And in their case, maybe a giant of lust, maybe a giant of adultery, who knows what else. But the bottom line is they allowed those voices into their lives to say that it would be better for me not to be with my spouse, but better to be with this other person. And as a result of it, guess what? It caught up with them, didn't it? So here's what I want to talk to you about today, is dealing with the giants that are in all of our lives. Now, it may not be lust or adultery, but how about the giant of fear? How about the giant of guilt and shame? How about the giants of you just feel not worthy? There's all kinds of different giants. And so the way we're going to approach this is in a way that it will apply to every single person here in some way, shape, or form. I'm going to make a statement now because in case I get going and I go on a few rabbit chases and I don't make this point, I want to make it now. Listen to this. The enemy of your soul sends giants into your life to hinder you from fulfilling your God-given call that God has put on your life. That is the mandate of the giants in your life, is to stop you or hinder you from fulfilling what God has called you to do before the foundations of the world. In other words, God has a plan for your life, and he wants you to fulfill it. But these giants come along. The enemy sends these giants through people, through circumstances, through voices, all different ways, right? These giants come in all different shapes and sizes, all right? And they come, and to what? Hinder you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. So here's what happens as a result of that. You'll always feel disillusioned. You'll feel disappointed. Why? Because unless you're in God's plan, you'll always feel less than right with God. And the thing is, God wants you to be right with him, right? And so the reality of it is we need to recognize those giants in our lives, recognize they're there, and learn how to slay those giants. So with that in mind, we're going to use a awesome background story. How many people have heard the story of David and Goliath? Doesn't get any better, right? They should make a serious movie, a real movie about it. It would be awesome. I'd go. Anybody else would go? It'd be awesome. And, can we stay with the script? Don't get kind of weird like they do in some of the movies. Let's just stay with the script. It's so good. All right, so it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, I need to give you a little bit of background. First of all, about the Word of God itself. Sometimes when we read, especially in the Old Testament, we read it, we read these stories, we read these events that have happened, and we're like, okay, yeah, okay, it's history. So what kind of thing? You need to understand that it's in the Bible for a reason. So first of all, it's an event that really happened. So when we read about what's happened, this really happened. There were really people involved. Real people died. Events happened that was very real there, all right? But there's also a reason why that event happened for those people there in that day. So there's some life lessons we can learn from that. But also for you and I, when we read these accounts in the Bible, we also need to be asking the question of ourselves, Lord, what are you saying to me today about that? In other words, how can that event apply to my life? And that's really what I want your prayer to be as we're going through this, all right? So everybody with me on this? So we're looking at three different levels. The event itself, how it applied to the people of that day, but how does it apply to me now? What is the Holy Spirit saying to me now? All right, so with that in mind, we've got in, if you go back to 1 Samuel 16, in there, David is a young man at this point, maybe 12, 13, 14 years old, something like that. A prophet by the name of Samuel comes to his house, literally. And that's a whole cool story in itself, all right? So I encourage you, read the account for yourself. We're only going to kind of dive in and touch on a few spots. But as Samuel goes to his house, he's there, and he anoints David to be the next king. Now, there's still a king that was in power. Saul was still king at this point. But he anoints David to be the next future king. And then Samuel leaves. Now, so often, there's a life lesson in that for you and I. David didn't the next day go and say, I'm the king. It was years and years and years before he actually became king and ruled and reigned. And here's the thing. There are things that God has said over your life and God has purposed in your life. And sometimes we hear it or we perceive it. We're like, okay, today, tomorrow? Like, come on, we're living in that microwave time. Listen to me. There's a timing in God. And so here's the thing, you and I need to be patient in our walk with Jesus. In fact, if that's all you get this morning, that's a good word from the Lord, all right? Just be patient as you take each step. I see a young couple that they're going to have a baby soon. And the thing is, they got 9 months. That's, you know, the bun in the oven, 9 months, okay? That's how long it takes. And so they're having to be patient. You can't rush this thing along. And it's the same when God gives us a dream or a vision. There's a conception, and then there's a birthing. There's a timing of it, and you just got to be willing to be patient. And so what did David do? He just stayed faithful, doing what he was doing. And what was David? He was anybody know? A shepherd, right? So he was looking after his father's sheep, been doing it for a number of years, and he just kept on doing that. That's what he was called to do at that time. All right, so now we come into what we're going to be talking about this morning. So the Philistines, which were a neighboring nation, invade Israel, all right? So that's what's going on. They invade Israel, and they want to just wipe out the Israelites. And so we're going to pick up the story in 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 3. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before them. And so I started out by saying that the Philistines were on one mountain, the Israelites were on another mountain, and just so you know, there was also a little brook, a little stream of water running right down the middle, separating the two of them, all right? And so it goes on, and we're introduced to the champion of the Philistines. His name was Goliath, and he was big. If you listen to the description and you look up the original measurements, you know, they talk about, you know, measurements that we don't understand, he was over 9 feet tall. You know, we have a family of really tall people, and they have to duck some of them to come through the doors. Well, if you look at the tallest person here, that guy here, can I get the tallest young man right there? Can you stand up for a second? I don't mean to embarrass you. Just stand up. Now, that's seriously tall, right? Like, I feel like a little kid when I look up at him and have a conversation. Now, add another. How tall are you? 7 foot? 6'10". So just under 7 foot. Add 2 more feet. To that. Thank you. You may sit down. Thank you for being that illustrated. 2 more feet to that young man, all right? That is seriously big. But here's the thing. Goliath was no basketball player. He was more like a refrigerator, All right, you know what I'm saying? Not only was he tall, he went out this way. He was massive, all right? We're talking maybe 300, 400, 500 pounds, and he didn't look fat. You know what I'm saying? Just solid, massive muscle. And he'd been, you know, just trained for this. This is who he was. And so his coat of mail weighed 125 pounds in our language, right? So it's like carrying a person around on his back all the time, and he didn't even notice it. So his javelin, you know, they talk about like a weaver's beam. Well, that's about 2 to 3 inches thick, all right? And then the iron tip that was on it weighed 15 pounds. So imagine holding a stick that is about 7-8 feet long, and then having a gallon and a half of milk hanging on the end of it. Because that's how much milk is, 10 pounds a gallon, all right? So imagine that. Now, I could hold it, but this guy could hurl it. You get what I'm saying? So we're talking, this guy is just massive. Just as far as human beings go, you could put 50 guys against him, and he'd just go like this and just fling them off. There was just no way in the natural this guy could be beaten, all right? So that's the kind of person that came forth. And so let's read now what he says. So we jump down now to verse 8, 17, 1 Samuel 17, verse 8. Then he, Goliath, stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come up to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And so here we have this guy, and we're going to read that he did this for 40 days and 40 nights. So literally in the morning he would come out, and at night he would come out, and he would do the same little spiel every time. And he would just say, "Look, send me a man so we don't all have to fight. Just that one man, if he beats me, great, we'll be your servants. If I beat him, you become our servants." And so how did the armies of Israel respond to the taunting of Goliath? Well, we go on and read, we're going to find out they hid in caves and in hills and little places in the ground. They just shrunk away in fear. In fact, it says that they were dismayed. You know what that literally means? It means that they broke down. They literally lost cognitive thinking. They were so full of fear, they were terrified. Can you imagine that? Let me tell you something. Some of you right here, right now, you are just as terrified of some giants that are in your land right now. You're scared to death, and you don't know how to deal with them. And let me tell you something about giants. This is what I've experienced about giants. When they first come into your life, they're kind of small. But left unchecked, they grow into monsters. And it gets worse and worse and worse the longer you don't deal with them. And so you are facing, some of you right now are facing some really big giants. And we're going to talk about how to deal with them in a little bit. But here's the reality of it. This applies to you and I today. We all have giants in our lives. And the question is, are you going to tolerate them and let them continue to wear you down and possibly break you? Or are you going to slay them, because that's what you've been called to do as a child of God? Amen? Okay, so let's go on. So when Saul and Israel, and I love this, heard these things. So in other words, it was just words at this point, and they're freaked out. Here's the thing. Sometimes you and I just hear things in the spirit, or somebody says something, and all of a sudden we're like all freaked out. Listen, it's just words. Come on now. You're not even feeling any pain physically at this point, right? Like, seriously, you know, someone's strangling you, I get it. You could say, "Hey, that hurts," right? But here's the thing. They're just words. And you need to understand that God is inside of you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's a giant that lives in you that's bigger than any giant in this world. In fact, 1 John 4:4 says that the one in you is greater than the one that's in the world. And so listen to me. You are called, I am called to be giant slayers, not in our own strength or power, but obviously by the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. When you're facing your giant, don't picture yourself as, okay, there's the giant, he's this big, and here's little old me. Remember, Jesus is right here, and he's bigger than any giant. Plus, Jesus is the leader of all of the armies of heaven, just in case you didn't know. It's not just Jesus, but all the armies of heaven are behind him. So who's greater? You are in him, right? There's no devil that, even if you've allowed it to grow and become this huge monster, it's never going to be bigger than the strength and power that Jesus has given you. Amen? The problem is Satan wants to convince you differently. That's what gets us into trouble. We believe the voice of him rather than the voice of God. And that's when you and I get into trouble. Amen? So here's what happens. At this point, David now comes onto the scene. His father, Jesse, says, "Hey, David, you know, your older brothers are part of the army. Why don't you go check in on them, see how the fighting's going, and come back and give me words." So David is sent. He shows up, and he's kind of looking around, right? He does what his father told him, greets his brothers and does all that. And then as they're doing that, Goliath comes out and does his spiel, right? You know, saying, "Send me out a man." And David's like, I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit. What the heck is going on? What is this? Why are you guys not fighting this guy? Why are you hiding under rocks? Why are you trembling? What's going on? And here's what they say to David. "Haven't you heard him? Don't you hear what he's saying?" Now, David had heard what he's saying. And David shrugs and says, "Yeah, so?" He's defying the armies of the living God. That's what David says. In other words, David had a clear head to hear and see and know what was really going on. Let me tell you something about your life and mine. Sometimes the giants in our lives have clouded our vision and our view and our understanding. That we're so broken, kind of, because of the fear that's happening and different things are happening in our lives, that we can't see clearly the giant that needs to be dealt with. But then someone else comes along beside you and says, "Why aren't you dealing with that?" How many people have had that happen? Don't put your hand up. Just smile and nod at me. Somebody's going, "Doesn't it irritate you when they do that?" You're like, "But that's my pet giant. Leave me alone. You know, I've gotten used to the giant being here. I'm dealing with him." Because that's how some of us do. That's what we do. But that other person, clear as day, can say, "Look, you got to deal with this. This thing, this monster is hindering you in the call of God on your life." And even to such a point, and when I say call of God, sometimes we think, ministry, preaching and teaching. Listen to me. When I talk about the call of God to be the best family member you can be, the best mom you can be, the best husband, the best wife, the best worker, I'm talking about the call of God just to function as a human being, okay? You know, obviously it can affect ministry as well. I'm just talking about your life, okay? And so you got to realize that the giants in your life want to stop you at every single level. So in a sense, I don't want you to over-spiritualize it. He just wants you to stop you from having a good life. He wants you to wake up in the middle of the night in sweat because you're fearful of whatever that thing is or worrying about it. That's literally what he wants to do, just hinder you in every step you're going, whether it's spiritual, like spiritual, or just in your life as a person. How many people want to go to bed in peace and wake up in peace? That's what God wants for each and every one of us. And for that to happen, you gotta deal with the giants. And that might mean being a little uncomfortable for a short period of time. But it's better, it's like the Band-Aid, right? You know, it's been on there for a while and you got some hair, and you start to pull it a little. Doesn't that hurt like a, hurts, right? Just rip it off. You can like hurt for like hours, right? You pull a little, and you just go on and on. Just pull the stinking thing off. And that's what you need to do sometimes with the devil. Just deal with it, all right? Don't just do a little thing. "Oh, I'll just do a little thing now, a little prayer, a little this. Just rip it off. Slay the giant. Just deal with it. And so David recognizes, look, this is not right. That's literally what he said. This is not right. Who is this guy, this uncircumcised Philistine, to defy the armies? Now, you need to understand some things. Israel hadn't gone out to attack any other nation. Israel was within its borders, and the enemy had come into their land. And here's the thing. In that time, it was called what? The Promised Land. It was a land that God had promised them. So remember how we talk about different levels of understanding. Here's the thing. God has a promised land for you. It's certain promises that he has given you. And so here's what the giants want to do, is come and inhabit your area of promises. To do what? Hinder you from enjoying those promises, from seeing those promises fulfilled. And so you have to make a choice. This giant can't stay here. It's got to go. And so that's literally what David is saying. He's saying, we got to deal with this. And so word gets around and finally gets to King Saul that there's one guy that's not afraid. So what does Saul do? King Saul says, "Get that guy. Send him to me. I got to talk to this guy." And so let's pick up with the story, all right? And so 1 Samuel, verse 32. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." So, you know, David's like, this is no big deal. Now, he had seen the giant, and he's just, you know, I don't even think he's 20 years old. So, he's a fairly young man. He hasn't been trained in warfare, per se. And so he's saying, yeah, this is no big deal. Now, so here's what King Saul says. "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth.'" Let's stop just for a second. You see that word, not able? You see, I underlined it. Not able. So here's Saul, scared for his own skin, afraid of the giant, and what is he transmitting? What is he speaking into David? The very same thing he's experiencing. You see, that's what you and I do. Now, let's talk about this, because so far it's been kind of about you. But as you allow giants to occupy your land, you then begin to influence people around you in a negative way. Because you haven't dealt with your giant, you're like, "Oh, I know, it's okay. You know, I've kind of got that same giant." Now, you don't say that. But you are saying, it's like, it's okay. You know, I've dealt with it. You know, it's in my life. And you'll be okay. You know, those are the kinds of talks that you give of another person if you haven't defeated your giant. But what would you say if you defeated your giant and you come into somebody's life who has the giant you used to have? You're like, you can beat this guy. And so that's the difference here. Not able. Now, I want to show you something. Two things happen when we're under pressure, you and I. It either breaks us or makes us. Now, I love the word not able. What happens when you take the space out between that word, those two words? Notable. That's what God wants to do. He allows the giants in your life, because God does allow it. Nothing happens except for God knows. So he allows it. Now, he didn't send them, but he allows them so that you can become notable, so that you can become a giant slayer, so it now becomes a part of your testimony on how you have overcome. That's God's best for you. Not for you to limp through life, say, "Oh, you know, this, I guess this is my cross to bear. I got these giants chasing me." No. God has called you to beat the tar out of them and to slay them so that it now becomes a part of your testimony of what God can do. Instead of saying, "I'm not able," you are now a notable person because you were put under some pressure and that space got taken up. You see what I'm saying? So I just love the English language. Every once in a while you can have some fun with it. But you are notable, not able. And in fact, David doesn't miss a beat. Let's go on and read what he says. Verse 34. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover," David said, "'the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he would deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Well, of course he said that. He's like, "I'll stay in the tent. You can go out and do that," right? And so here's the thing. You've got David. Now, here, this is really, really important. Because, listen, you and I, we all want public victories. You know, all of us, we want to slay the giant. How many people want to slay the biggest giant in your life? Absolutely. All your hands should be up. We absolutely, and you want to just go after it. But here's the thing. David makes a point here, and don't miss this. While he was watching his father's sheep, while he was doing his father's will, and we'll look at it from a spiritual point of view, he guarded the sheep. And when the enemy came to try to take them in the form of a bear and a lion, what did he do? Rescued the lamb and killed the lion and the bear. In other words, no one was watching him out in that field. He's by himself, all alone. You know, it's not like, "Look at what I've done." He was just about his father's business looking after the lambs. And it's the same for you and I, in that if you want to have those public victories so you don't have kiss cam events in your life, all right, then what you need to do is get the private events. So when the enemy comes along in your private time and he's speaking to you to cause you to sin and go in a wrong direction, you can say no in the name of Jesus. Take authority over that giant in the private times. You see, here's how God wants us to be. Whether you're all hidden away in your private little room, wherever that is, or you're on a stage somewhere, or you're at work or with your family, that you are exactly the same. That's how it's supposed to be. That is God's best, because then you're not putting on a different hat or a different attitude or okay, I got to be this way for this group of people, or I got to be this way because I'm out in public and the kiss cam could come. You get what I'm saying? You need to be who you are, which is God's way, all the time. In other words, you don't have to fake it. You just are who you are. And here's the thing. For that to happen, you need to be transparent with the presence of God. In other words, when you're convicted of doing or thinking or acting a certain way, then here's the thing. You got to say, Lord, arrest me in that. Show me what to do. And then make that adjustment and move on. Because let me tell you, the giants in your life see that, and they will work on any of those areas where you're hypocritical. In fact, I said this at the first service. When Goliath said, I defy the armies of Israel. You know what that word means in the original language in the Hebrew? It's really cool. It means I expose you. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. By Goliath challenging them and say, I defy, he's what? Exposing them for who they really are. And what is that? Full of fear, untrusting in God, unwilling to do what God's called them to do. And in a sense, Goliath was providing a service, right? Showing them who they really are. Sometimes the giants in your life show the weakness in your life. And that can be good. Because then you can go to Jesus and say, Lord, why am I being tempted in this area? Why do I want to do this? Or why do I not want to do this? Lord, help me to deal with this. You know, the Bible does say that God works all things for good. Those who love him, called according to his purpose. So he can even use the evil giants. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean you cohabitate with the giants. You got to slay him, all right? You got to slay him. Okay, so we go on, okay? David says, look, I'm going to go. Saul gives him his armor. He tries to wear the armor. Doesn't work because it's just he's not used to it. But he does have his own weapons, doesn't he? Anybody know what his weapon of choice was at this point in his life? He could sling stones and do it really well. Again, this wasn't the first time he slung a stone, all right? He'd been practicing where? Out watching the sheep, between killing lions and bears, he was slinging stones, all right? In other words, in those private times, you want to have those public victories, you need to be slinging stones in private. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. And so here's the deal. He goes to that brook, picks out a rock from there. In fact, he picks out five rocks. Does anybody know why he picks five stones? Anybody know? Come on, any Bible readers? He had four brothers. Goliath had four brothers as big and ugly as he was, all right? So he thought, look, if I kill Goliath, it could be the other four might get upset and come as well. So he's what? Ready for the fight. Are you ready for the fight against your giants? All right? That's really, really important because they're there and they're going to try to fight and push against you. Are you prepared? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few moments. So let's go on now. Okay, in verse 41, so it comes down to it where David is now going to face Goliath. So we're down to verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. Hold it. So now David's not just against one guy. He's against two guys. And so you got Goliath and then his shield bearer. So there's a guy in front of him holding up a shield. So David's actually fighting two people, not one. They missed that in the kids' story version, just so you know, all right? Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So you know what we just read? The origin of trash talk. Come on. How many fights have you watched, you know, WWF or whatever, you know, and you have them face each other and they're talking trash? That is like the origin of it. You thought that was something new, right? It's right in the Bible. There's nothing new under the sun, all right? So this is awesome, right? The Philistine, I'm going to do this to you. David said, I'm going to do this. But here's the thing. David, what he said was actually what was going to happen, right? And so none of that trash talk, deterred David in any way. We go on, if we read the account, here's what happens. David puts a stone in his sling, first shot, hits Goliath right here in the forehead. The Bible says that the rock sunk deep within his forehead, fell down to the earth. David runs, stands on top of him, the Bible says, didn't have a sword himself, grabs Goliath's sword. Can you imagine the weight of that? We don't have any dimensions, but it must have been quite the deal. Slices off Goliath's head, holds it up in victory. They don't have that in a children's book either, but it's kind of cool. Anyway, holds it up, right? And then the Philistines split. You know, and Israel then comes out of their caves and out of their hiding places and pursues it. And a great victory for Israel. So before I finish my final couple points, I want to ask you this. Are you willing to be the David in the circumstances around you? You know, we're living in a world of a lot of people filled with fear. Maybe fear of the different wars going on, you know, politics, just all the different things that are going on in the world. You know, are you willing to be the David in your sphere of influence? That could be your family, could be at your job, could be, you know, at home in your neighborhood. Are you willing to be that David, that voice of understanding, that voice that knows his father, that voice that knows what's best for a circumstance or situation? That voice that knows that the Goliath can be slayed. Because that's what God's calling you and I to do. And so I want to leave you with three things that you need to know if you're going to slay your giants. In fact, I don't even like the word your giants. I don't like taking ownership. It's your promised land, but it's the giants, right? But they're have encroached. So I don't like to join them to ourselves. I'd rather just say the giants rather than your giants. And so here's the first one. How do we walk in victory? How do we slay these giants? First one is this. Know that it is not our battle, but the Lord's. This is just so, so important. And we saw David speak of that over and over again. He's defied God. You know, he doesn't say, I'm offended. He said, you're coming against God. And so just a support scripture, Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, says this. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and give you the victory. So again, scripture supports scripture, showing that, look, the battle is not yours. You know, it's just so important. And we need to really get this deep down within our heart, because here's the thing. If we don't, we see the giant Goliath in our lives and we see us and we're like, I can't win. No, you can't. Not by yourself. But with Christ, you can do all things. All right, so that's one point, right? Know that the battle's not yours. Here's the next one. Know that it's not in our power that we defeat the giant. Philippians 2, verse 3 says this, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So in other words, it is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to beat the giants in our lives. You can't do it on your own. In fact, another place in Scripture, one of the Old Testament prophets prophesied this, and they said this, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And you know, that was concerning, you know, way back when the enemy was trying to take over in a different situation. Not by might, in other words, not by our own strength, not by power, not our power, but by what? The Holy Spirit. And that brings us to the last and final point. And it's this, know that we still play a part by trusting Jesus for the victory. So in other words, it's not, you can't just say, okay, Lord, I recognize I got a giant. I trust that you're going to do something about it, and then just kind of sit there. What did David have to do? He had to go to the brook. He had to get the rock. He had to sling the rock. He had to show up, right, and sling the rock. In other words, there was a part that he played, even though it wasn't in his power and his strength. I'm going to ask the music team to come up, because we're going to be closing with the song, I Trust You, because that's really what this is all about. Now, I'm going to share something with you. For some of you, this may just go over your head. Don't worry about it. But I pray that you can grasp hold of what I'm going to say, because this is like today for you right now, all right? Often in the Bible, in the Old Testament especially, we see water and rivers and streams representing the Holy Spirit, all right? All through the Bible, we see that, all right? There's a comparison, a drawing to it. And in fact, Jesus himself makes this comparison. If you look here, for example, I'll just give you the scripture, John 7, verse 38. Jesus said this, he who believes in me, as scripture said, from his innermost beings shall flow rivers of living water. So here's Jesus himself talking about rivers of water. So the stream is in us now, okay? But the thing is, back then, there was that brook, right? And so here's David. He's facing Goliath. Where does David go first? He goes to the stream. So what does the stream represent? The presence of God, the Holy Spirit. So there's a couple things I want you to realize. First of all, that God is there protecting you from those giants. Giants over there, streams here, you're here. In other words, there's nothing that that enemy can do beyond what it can control by God. Okay? My point is, you and I can't say, I can't overcome because the giant's just too big. That's a lie. Because God won't let anything happen to you beyond what you can bear. He'll prepare a way for you. That's what the scriptures say. So that presence of God is there to help you to deal with the giants. But here's the next step. Where did David get the weapon to destroy the giant? In the stream. Now, I want you to think about this. Not only was it in the stream, but it was prepared by the stream. Because what if he just grabbed a rock off the ground and tried to sling it? What would happen? What happens when baseball players put just a little salve on one side and try to throw the ball? What happens? Thing goes all over the place, right? Well, it's the same with rocks. You can't sling a rock that's not round. And so here's the thing. That rock was formed with purpose in the stream. Your weapons for you to win against your giants is found in the Holy Spirit. All right? This is really big. It's not by you trying to figure it out and say, well, I just got to figure out what words I got to say or how I got to do this or I got to do that. You don't got to do any of that. Stop and reach into God. Your victory is in Him. You need to find out what weapon, whether it be words or actions or attitude or whatever you need to do. It's perfectly formed and there for you to pull out and then sling. This is just so, so important. Listen, God, just as that stream was there for David, that stream is there for you and I today. Let's stand together. And we're going to close in prayer in a few minutes after this song. But while we're just ruminating, singing this song, I want you in your mind to ask yourself this question. Do I have some giants in my land of promises that I need to deal with? In fact, let me just ask you, anybody here that have any of those giants they need to deal with? Just slip your hand up in the air. We're just acknowledging to Jesus. All right. So here's the deal. As we're singing this song, begin to just prayerfully say, Lord, you know, I'm trusting you, but what's the next step for me? I want to reach into you. I need to know how to defeat this enemy. Show me the step, the next step. So that's my prayer for you as we sing this song together. Go ahead.
Who else could stand beside me in the fire? Who else could part the waters at my feet? Who else could move the mountains that I'm facing? Who else already holds my victory? I trust Jesus. I trust Jesus. In the storm, in the fight, all my days, all my life, I trust Jesus. Always Jesus. Come what will. Come what may, still my heart will choose to say, I trust Jesus. Who else will pay the price for my redemption? Who else will bear the cross that's meant for me? Who else lay down the life for my salvation? Who else has conquered death and holds the key? I trust Jesus. I trust Jesus. In the storm, in the fight, all my days, all my life, I trust Jesus. Always Jesus. Come what will, come what may, still my heart will choose to say, I trust Jesus. My hope is built I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I trust in Jesus' name. I trust Jesus. I trust Jesus in the storm, in the fight, all my days, all my life. I trust Jesus, always Jesus. Come what will, come what may, still my heart will choose to say, I trust Jesus.
Just as we were singing that song, I just heard in the spirit that people are saying, oh, he won't do that for me. But the word of God says that he is not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he will do for you also.
Amen. That's a real word from the Lord. Amen. Don't look at yourself as small. David was just a little boy. Just a little boy. But God used him. God uses you. He loves you the same as he loved David. And look at what he did through David, right? You are a giant slayer. In fact, say this with me. I am a giant slayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you for everyone here. And Lord, there's one giant that we can't slay without you directly intervening. And that's the giant of sin. And so, Lord, if there be any person here that's never accepted you as Lord and Savior, that I pray that at this moment they make that decision. In fact, let me just, every eye looking at me just for a moment, is there anyone here that needs Jesus? You've never asked Jesus into your heart ever before. Is there any person? I just want to make sure I give everyone an opportunity. You've never invited Jesus in. All right, well, I want to pray and believe that everyone here is a believer. God bless you. So, Father, right now, for those of us that are dealing with giants, and they can creep in sometimes, and literally we turn around and boom, there they are. But Lord God, as we trust you, not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit, as we trust you, we will get the victory as we follow your directions. So Lord, bless each person here. Bless those that watched online. I pray that we go forth as giant slayers in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.
Trust Jesus.
Yes, I